Planning for the future. Investors prepare for the final weeks of the debt ceiling debate.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, how concerned are the markets about what will or won't happen when it comes to raising the debt ceiling and cutting the federal deficit? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are down this morning. The Dow down 124 points at 12,532. The NASDAQ down almost 1%, and the S&P 500 down more than 1% right now. Aluminum maker Alcoa is expected to kick off earnings season today with strong profits due to an increase in demand from car and airplane makers. Now let's get to the debt ceiling debate in Washington. The president will meet today with lawmakers in hopes of reaching a deal to raise the federal debt ceiling in exchange for trillions of dollars in deficit cutting. The Treasury Department says there has to be a deal by August 2nd to avoid a default. For more, let's bring in Julia Coronado, chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas. She is with us live from New York, as she is every Monday. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Julia, how are investors preparing for the various possibilities here, either a deal that includes big cuts or a default?
Well, despite the fact that the negotiations seem to take a turn for the worse over the weekend, investors have plenty of other things on their plate to worry about with renewed concerns coming out of Europe, this time concerns on Italy. So right now, rightly or wrongly, investors are still placing the probability of a default for the U.S. very low, and there's no real evidence that they're concerned about their treasury holdings.
And if they are not concerned so much about the prospect of a default, then I guess the alternative would be trillions of dollars in deficit cutting. Isn't that going to be something that would have a pretty big effect on the economy?
Certainly. And of course, the terrible June employment report really highlighted the difficulties that these negotiators are facing. The trade-offs are not good either way. Whether you raise taxes or whether you cut spending, either way, that's going to be a drag on an economy that's already or continues to struggle to find any consistent momentum. So the trade-offs aren't good. And, you know, one way or another, it's just another headwind that the U.S. economy is going to have to absorb.
Julia Coronado, chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas. Thanks, as always.
My pleasure.
Well, as Julia mentioned, Italy is the focus of the European debt crisis today, and Marketplace's Stephen Beard explains why.
Italy has one of the world's most heavily indebted governments and perhaps the most scandal-ridden prime minister. But until last week, investors kept those two thoughts separate. They put their trust in the highly respected finance chief, a former visiting professor at Oxford. But Prime Minister Berlusconi has fallen out badly with his finance minister. Last week, Berlusconi sneered, he thinks he's such a genius. Confidence has been hit. Government borrowing costs have jumped. Simon Tilford of the Centre for European Reform says there'll be big trouble if Italy needs help from its European partners.
Italy's a very big economy. It's the third biggest economy in the Eurozone. It's something like probably 10 times the size of the Irish economy, for example. And they couldn't afford to bail Italy out.
If Italy does need a bailout, it could really be crunch time for the euro. The crisis could climax this fall. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at manta.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained agents committed to small business success on the web at farmers.com.
There are reports this morning that Syrian protesters have attacked the U.S. embassy in Damascus in a day that's seen some of the heaviest violence since the government launched a crackdown on dissent 2 months ago. About 10,000 Syrians have already fled to refugee camps in neighboring Turkey. And as Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports from Turkey, the costs are piling up.
When there aren't any refugees, the population of Yayladağ is a little more than 6,000 people. It's a dusty border town. It has one main drag, which is lined with places like tea houses and small shops. You don't see a lot of refugees around because they're mostly closed in camps on the edges of town, but everybody knows they're here. Mehmet Aktay grew up in Yeledağ, and a couple of weeks ago, he got a job collecting trash in one of the camps, a job he says will probably double his income.
It's a filthy job dealing with trash. It causes sickness, but at least we have a job.
Until the refugees came here, he only worked occasionally. He would drive a tractor on other people's farms. But he's still worried about the Syrians being here. He says the town already has water shortages, and he wonders if Yeledağ can actually handle twice as many people. This bakery, which is on one end of town, has gotten some extra business because of the refugees. Talib Ferengi is the baker. He's putting flatbread after flatbread into the oven while he talks. He says people from the surrounding villages have collected money to buy bread for the refugees. It's happened a few times, and it's been a nice little bonus for the bakery. But Ferengi wishes he could sell more to the camps. The Turkish Red Crescent, which runs them, actually trucks in most of the supplies for the camps, including bread.
Of course, it would be better if the Red Crescent bought from us, but they don't buy from here. They don't buy anything from the local merchants.
His coworker, who's rolling out the dough, interrupts him to say, as if there were no bakers here, no groceries here. The mayor of Yeledağ says he's trying to find ways to help the refugees that would also let the town benefit more from the camps. But the unrest in Syria is causing other economic problems for the mayor to deal with. Yeledağ used to get a lot of its money from border traffic, and that traffic has nearly stopped since the uprisings in Syria began this spring. In Yeledağ, Turkey, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And finally to Australia, where a key part of winemaking has been outsourced to a dog. A bloodhound named Louisa Bell has been trained to sniff out a bad barrel of wine and detect bottles that aren't up to snuff. Her owners say her nose is 2,000 times more sensitive than a human nose, but she's not a fan of drinking the wine. She still prefers a bowl of water and some dog food. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Breakneck growth? Yep. Signs of new money everywhere? Got that. Total sensory overload? Oh, yeah,
The Ferrari's locked in the showroom.
Let's turn around for a minute and look at that Nike store.
This is good. They've got Maseratis here, too.
What does it make? Nobody wants to come and explain it to me. Can you say culture shock? I'm Kai Rizdal. China all week, courtesy of yours truly. It starts next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.